these incredible ladies that are going to be up here with me in a few minutes. And I'm going to introduce each of them. And one of the things I said, that there's so much to learn from these ladies. We're going to try to get through it as quickly as we can and make it as fun as we can, because they are absolutely fabulous. So the first person is Mickey Taylor. She's the founder and president of Mickey Taylor Enterprises, and she's devoted a lifetime to helping women manage their inner and outer beauty and inspiring them to, I love this, own their lives to the fullest. For 30 years, go ahead, clap.
Thank you.
For 30 years, Taylor served as Essence Magazine's groundbreaking beauty and cover director and is now the editor-at-large for the publication. We at Ebony salute that.
Thank you. Thank you.
There's room for both of us.
Yes, indeed.
Our next guest is Lorianne Gibson, and she's really a force to be reckoned with.
Yes.
Creative director, choreographer, artist. She has helped work and has helped and worked with numerous international stars. Katy Perry, Lady Gaga, Diddy, K-pop's Big Bang, and Nicki Minaj.
Oh. It's okay.
So the first thing I noticed, ladies, show your nails. Show your nails. That I am way out of the league with the nails, okay? That's the first thing I noticed about beauty and image and brand. I got to grow some nails here. So I'm feeling a little self-conscious about my fingernails. But nonetheless, we're here to talk about You Inc. and to really talk about, you know, your own personal brand. And so one of the first questions I want to ask, so that we're all kind of on the same playing field and everyone has a different definition of brand. And so the first question I have for you ladies is, tell me your definition of brand and also give me some sense of how that relates to authenticity. Who's going to go first?
Well, I'll take
the legend.
Take a stab at it. You know, your brand is that gift that was given to you by your creator. He has already defined your brand. It's on each of us to discover what that is and to use it in full. So that is not, it's not something that you manufacture or you have to create. It's not something you should shop when you look at industries. And, you know, what is that thing that burns inside of you that you would do so well you could do it in your sleep and you do it for free? And I certainly hope you won't, but yes. Yeah, that's your gift, your purpose. Your brand is already defined and given to you.
I mean, and that word for me, it kind of has a juxtaposition. I'm still dealing with it. It's a word that everybody uses very loosely, mm-hmm. and it's almost like the word of the week, my brand, you know? So really, the word is one thing, and there's a lot of components to it, but the brand is the why. The brand is the why. Mm-hmm. Why are you here? Why are you meant to do what you're created to do? Why are you doing it? What is the purpose behind it? Brand is not necessarily a person, place, or thing, but it's an emotion, it's a movement, it's a feeling, it's passion, it is the very purpose mm-hmm. behind how God will use you and what he will call you to. Mm-hmm. You know, the brand is the word, that the window that you look in, but it mm-hmm. is actually a process, mm-hmm. an unfoldment, mm-hmm. of who you are and why you're here.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that. Mm-hmm. So let's dive into that. I'm going to go off script, which is not unusual for me, and talk a little bit about that journey. And so I would say for myself that one of the things that I really started, when I really started to think about this whole thing of what's your passion, what is your brand, what are you meant to do, how do you feel about that, and you know, how do you embrace that and move forward, was during my time in Washington. I'm sure most of you know it was a great opportunity for me, historical, but there was also a lot of judgment about me at the same time that I was in Washington. And so there was a lot written, you know, about the Desiree brand. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things I noticed right away, I said, I never felt this beautiful. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, I'm so beautiful in the papers. I'm this. My dress is that. My shoes are that. My shoes. And so I became a bit disillusioned about who I was and allowed people to judge me and make a determination about who I was. And so it's been a journey for me to really take myself back and start to really create and be who I really am. And not be, you know, embarrassed, ashamed. All right, I have some nice shoes. Big deal. You know, and so can you guys talk a little bit about your journeys and some of the things that have helped you to think about, you know, what is your brand and how do you have us really get a sense of who you are?
You know, one thing I'll say, Desiree, because I so understand, you know, what you were talking about, is that you really do have to guard your sacred space. You really do have to protect your mind because people will label you, people will throw you off course, and so you really do have to continually stay focused on what it is that you are called to do, and you have to really appreciate your authenticity. You know, one of the things that helped me is that, you know, I was always determined to be the truth of who God says I am. So, for example, you know, when I first went out into the industry, you know, publishing can be tough. Everybody's a critic. Everybody's a judge. You're constantly being judged on your work, who you work with, what you say, what you do, what you bring to the table. And, you know, for a person who was innately shy, you know, after a while, I had to learn to leave my shy self at home. I said, like, because she's getting in the way. And you can't be, you know, this is oxymoronic. You can't be who God says you are. And you know you're gifted to do this. And then you're going to show up and be shy and be affected by the things that people say. You are not who people and what people say. They don't get the right to have a say in that. So, yeah, so that really helped me a lot. And it really helped me to say, you also have to learn how to grow through challenge, not just go through. If you go through, you're not getting anything out of it. But if you want to grow through, if you want to get greater in what your purpose is, what God has called you to do, you got to learn to grow through. Otherwise, it's not made of nothing, and you're really just living in the shadow of who he meant you to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I have a very unique walk. I didn't grow up in the church. I was born and raised in Toronto, Ontario. When I was 17, I jumped on a Greyhound bus to New York City to study dance. When I was 12, I went to see Alvin Ailey at the O'Keefe Center. And for a while, I was the only black girl in my ballet school, and my ballet teacher said, you'll never be the black swan. You'll never be the white swan. You'll never be the swan. Your feet are too flat, your back is too arched. But for some reason, I had a gift that was deposited deep inside my soul. This little girl just wanted to dance. Mm-hmm. And there was so much power in the way I moved. I didn't have to open my mouth. I just had to move my body. And my gift would affect a change in the atmosphere. Yeah. Yeah. So I can't really tell you brand this, brand that. But what I will tell you is that step upon step. It is who he told you were in the beginning. So there is an unveiling, precept upon precept. A little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit there. Yeah. You can't walk out the door and say, what is my brand? Maybe you can if that is how God designed your walk, right? Mm-hmm. But you have to be careful when to say, this is my brand. Because, right, if you say it at the wrong time and you're on shaky ground, then the world, the industry, which is very quick to snatch you up at the wrong time so that your influence is not really your purposed influence, but the influence that will distract the very people called to your gift. So you have to be careful when you decide to say, this is my brand, right? So you have to take that out of your conversation and then really be knowledgeable and use that wisdom as to when the timing of it all comes together and you really understand. Because like you were saying, they will very quickly take your character. Right. I was on a reality show, cut to Alvin Ailey, cut to Uptown Records, cut to meeting Puff Daddy. I'm sure all of you might know of this guy, not sure if you do. And he introduced him to myself with a silver briefcase and a business card. He said, hello, my name is Puff Daddy and I'm the A&R of Uptown Records. I said, oh, hello, my name is Lorianne Gibson, and I'm a dancer. And he said, well, you know, why don't you come dance for this artist? And I was like, okay, sure. And from there, I began to be exposed to an industry that would challenge the very power of my gift and try every day to distract mm-hmm. the building of this brand mm-hmm. that would 20 years later dominate the industry based on the inspiration mm-hmm. that God pours out into a very conflicted world and industry with how my gift works. So my brand is, at the end of the day, one that is effective in an inspirational way, not in a packaged way. Mm-hmm. It's alive every time I activate my gift. So it's very difficult to package.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love it. I love it. You know, I just want to...
So it's still defining itself, but yes, it's... As to what you guys are saying, we have to be very careful when we say, this is my brand, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm. You know, I just wanted to say, too, that if you're not careful, too, it starts very early on. Because, you know, my experience in talking with us is that a lot of times we lost that ability to dream and to walk in our purpose at a young age. You know, when I was growing up in the city of Newark, I lived for beauty because it was, you know, in my heritage, my mother was a makeup artist and hairstylist to Sarah Vaughan. She had her own salon. That was like my first experience in beauty school. But they weren't asking little brown girls like me in the city of Newark in the school system, do you want to be a beauty editor when you grow up? Or do you want to be, I was a great storyteller, but nobody asked me if I want to be a journalist. You know, they wanted to label you, well, you should be a teacher or you should get a job. And okay, that's fine, but put that away. No, but if you're not careful, that fear of what someone else says can cripple you and make you doubt the gift that's in you.
Exactly right. And I think one of the things that we have to make certain of is that we support one another, okay, that we lift each other up, and that we stop debating. And you don't have to love everyone, you don't have to love what everyone is doing, but I really think that as a community, it is time for us to stand arm in arm with each other and push to get what we need to get. And so many other communities are doing that. We've got to continue to do that. And, you know, I am always intrigued by history. And there's always a reason for why we act the way we act. And I was just reading an article on Shuffle Along, which is a new Broadway play that's going to be starting in a few weeks. And they went through the original history. It was the first black musical with an all-black cast. And they go through, you know, and I'm looking and there's blackface and I'm thinking, oh, I don't like that. But you understand that part of this history of people in the theater that were black is no one wanted to look up at black people. And so originally, you know, they white people painted themselves black. And then that's the way they were able to kind of sneak in black artists because you couldn't see if they were black or they were white. And so it was okay to look at someone who was painted in blackface. That was okay. But it was not okay to look up at someone who was black. I mean, crazy. So there's always a history to why we feel the way we feel, why we think the way we think, why we might not trust each other the way we need to trust each other. That, you know, they're only going to pick one to go in the big house. I mean, so we got to like kind of educate ourselves and work with ourselves to make certain that we can get over that history and leap forward and really grab all those things that are out there for us to grab. So tell me, you guys, can you give us, you know, an example of where it may not have been so easy for you? You know, I'm sure people are sitting out there thinking, boy, I think I'm authentic. I think I know who I am. Has there been any point in time, and can you give us any example where it was really tough and you could give us some advice on, you know, how to get through those tougher times where you really do start to doubt, you know, what am I good at? You know, what do I have to offer? You know, why am I here? You know, those kinds of things. You know, give us some words of wisdom to help us get on the other side, because life's not always easy every day.
I think the reality of it is, you know, glory to God for the grace and the mercy, and it is all really in Him. You know, the confidence, the understanding of who He is, and that the power and the word and what's really real about having a relationship with Christ, about really walking with him every day, is that is really the only way you can combat this world and this journey. That is the only way you can arm yourself and defend yourself and walk in your destiny and fulfill your purpose. I mean, the reality is every day there's a challenge, yes? When I got on that Greyhound bus, I was illegal. And I remember before I was saved, he always had me because I was always praying, like, Lord, you know, my mother taught me right from wrong. God bless her. Love you, Mama. She's now saved. And I didn't want to lie to the immigration officer. But I knew that there was something burning I wanted to dance.
Look, she wants to dance now.
I couldn't figure it out, but I didn't want to lie. I was like, okay, God, how does this work? Still calling on him, yes. And I never got an answer at the time, but I never got a don't lie. Do you know what I mean? And I just knew that this dream and this passion and this gift was bigger than any giant and any naysayer and any door and any struggle. I didn't know, but I know. Do you know what I mean? I know when you said that. I know what I know what I know. My mother used to say that before she was saved. You know what you know what you know. I know. You know what I mean? So I was like, okay, I got to the immigration officer. He's like, how long are you going to be in the United States of America? Window of escape, please. 2 weeks, sir. 2 weeks? Yes, sir. Mind you, I was never coming back until I made it. I was like, 2 weeks, my left foot, I'm not coming back. I'm not coming back till I fulfill my dream. I find that dance, right? So when I did get saved, and when God did begin to pull me through and show me who I was and why he left me there and why his time for me, when he called me to the kingdom, was at a specific time. And there were times where I was like, geez, why'd you leave me out there for so long, right? Why couldn't I grow up in the church? Do you know what I mean? But there was purpose behind that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And in the place that we're at is the most quickly influential place. The artist that I work for can tweet one thing and change the very mindset or the direction of the youth.
Yeah.
So when you're standing beside a very insecure artist who's selling 45 million records and you're the one holding them together and you're the one that's not affected by the appetite of 20,000 people screaming their name. I know they're screaming your name, but hold on, Nikki. Remember, God got us here. You know he does, girl. Ah! So every door closes at different times, and there's always, for me, a fight because of my purpose. So I can't tell you that it'll stop, but I can tell you that when you really walk this thing out, it can't define you, nor can it stop you, nor does it really affect you. You might crumble for a second.
Right.
But then you really do believe that no weapon formed against you.
Yes, that's right.
So you really do believe it. You really do believe. See, the problem with me, I tell my artists, is that I really do believe.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Just go ahead and let him and watch him work on me. I might get it all the way right, but it's him, and glory to God, because he's doing it specific in a specific way. So yes, the challenges are there and they never stop, and heavy is the crown. So every time I wake up at a new level with a new challenge, I just go, great, you really are making me amazing, so bring it on.
Right. That's exactly right.
And if you're really. And if you're looking for this thing to be like, oh, I got my brand and da-da-da-da and da-da-da and it's going to get easy and it's going to get easy. Well,
no.
Don't just, what is easy?
Right.
Nothing.
Easy is
nothing.
Christ.
Right. Right. Yeah. That's right.
Right.
That's right. You know, it's very interesting. I read a long time ago that when the Creator defined me, he was satisfied. And I made up my mind that there was no way that I could believe in him if I didn't believe in the me that he created.
Yeah. Right.
And so that was enough for me. And then you took my scripture, but that's the one, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. So 30 some years ago, when I ran into an editor who said, you know, out of envy, who didn't understand her gift, she said, "You're not a writer, you can't write." And I'm like, "Oh, you talking to me? You don't know what God
you know sister, me.
You're right. You don't know me that well. You do you know what God placed in me? Oh, I can tell stories beyond and beyond. And furthermore, I got 11 million women in this magazine that's following me, and they live for every story I write. So you're like, you need to check with somebody. Yeah, you need to check with somebody." And so, and you know, so you have to learn to overcome that. You have to learn to understand even that people that haven't defined their gift will try to cripple yours, because misery still loves company. And I don't do misery well. I do, you know, I got a lot of things. I don't do Judas well, so I stop inviting him to my table. That's not my strength. I don't do it well. And so I just kept on writing. I learned that every no means that you have to be creative, not defeated. Yeah, because he that begun a good work in you will perform it till the end. It didn't say he would quit because of your haters. So right. Yeah, and after a while, she wasn't my editor anymore. And I'm working on my third book, and I'm still writing, and I don't know what she was talking about.
No.
Yes.
And wait, we'll be quiet. And here's the reality. Don't get it twisted. Hollywood is riveted yes. with the enemy. Like, yes. I don't know anybody that comes and says, "Okay, hi," it's not what it is.
Right.
And if you're called to it, you know, those that are really called and don't have the appetite are like, "Oh, do I really have to go?" So when you find people even out of the church that come in and you watch them not stand, you know what I mean? Then you understand why I didn't come up through the church.
Right.
Don't you start in here.
Uh-oh.
Don't you start in here.
Without disrespect, because when he did save me, he called me to a storefront church in Brooklyn for a reason.
Yeah.
And the mothers and the doilies and the everything. So, you know, I did have to go through an old school, old fashioned, good old journey very quickly.
Yeah.
So I think one of the things that we're hearing here is, you know, there are a lot of obstacles out there.
Yes.
There are a lot of people, unfortunately, that like misery and as opposed to you, or, you know, are sitting with people that they think are supporting them, but maybe not quite. Maybe I don't want you to have any more than I have. Maybe, you know, you're doing just well enough, but maybe a little bit too much. And so one of the things I've learned is it is so important to surround yourself with people that care about you. I mean, deeply care about you. During the great times and the great concerts and the great book signings and everything else, but care about you during those very difficult times that maybe doesn't look so good.
That's right.
You're not quite sure what your next move is going to be. Those are your real friends. Those are the people that support you and your authentic self, as opposed to anything related to shoes, books, dancing, nails, etc.
That's right.
And so many times, unfortunately, I see people that are dragging a wagon. Their friends are in that wagon and they're not supporting them. Family members, they got to be moved to the side. You got to keep going forward and get your, you know, make your own way. And when you're strong enough, maybe you can pull one or two. Not more than that, though. You got to be careful. So you guys have hinted a lot at spirituality. Can you tell me, what is faith to you? What's faith? What does that mean?
You know, I still love the old definition of Hebrews 11:1. It's the assurance of things hoped for. And I say that, you know, faith is nothing if it's not defining your life. You don't need to sing another song, holler another amen. If it's not in your day-to-day, just put it down and go for something that you can really do. Because faith costs you something. It costs you something. And part of that is even knowing your value to God. You see, that's one thing you have to be clear about. Even before you can work your brand, use your gift or something, you have to know your value.
So many of us don't know our value. Yeah, and that's historic too, right?
Yes.
That's that old history hanging in the background, just ready to kind of take you off your path. Right. I mean, we are all so valuable.
Yes.
And first thing, you know, my mother says to me, she goes, "No one loves you, Desiree, more than you do." Mm-hmm. And she says that in a kind of a snarky way. And I say to her, "I'm very proud about that because I got to carry me every day.
That's
and
right.
if I don't love myself, it's going to be very difficult for me to love That's anyone
right.
else
right.
and to give
right.
everything that I have to
right.
give."
Right. That also determines who you will allow to be in your life. You see, when you know your value and you know whose you are, then that determines the people that you allow to be in your circle. And you know, I always say that each of us needs a celebration circle. Those are the people who will be with you in the valley as well as on the mountaintop. Those are the people who will pray with you and tell you the truth about yourself. And they will, you know, keep you from not being who God says you are. And those are, you know, everybody needs that because your greatness was not designed to work in isolation. You know, that's the other thing. We think we need to get there by ourselves, or we believe what folks said, it's lonely at the top. How are you going to get at the top of your game and be lonely? That don't make no sense. I mean, even Jesus had 12, and one of them, even though he was a betrayer, he had a role. He didn't go by himself.
Well, I think walk by faith, not by sight. If you are here to understand the branding and the collaboration between your purpose and business, I mean, that is it. You have to walk by faith, not by sight, because you're just not going to see it. And that we are all unique, and like, you know, we all have a dream, and we all have a why, and we all have a purpose. So it is that faith that will define you every time, that will bring you out of all these circumstances we're talking about, you know, out of all those doors closing. It is that faith that defines you every day, you know? And for me, it is that faith that God has allowed the evidence in my life to be number one in my business, you know, to not be on drugs, to not be defined or to have an appetite by the business, you know. I'm not affected at all. I'm in it very much. I have a purpose, yeah. So faith is the evidence, you know. Faith is who we are.
Yeah.
And I think that sometimes you got to wake up and be honest with yourself. Do you know what I mean? When that faith gets challenged, when those doors get closed, when you're not familiar to people, when you're not popular, you know, when you're only holding on to who God says you are and what he says yeah. you're to say. And even though everybody's looking at you like, you know
yeah.
that it's going to be all right. Faith, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, because faith also holds you accountable.
Mm-hmm. Also, no. when you're there, check, yeah. you're like, that yeah. last check, you're like, come on, faith.
Right. Right.
So tell me.
Right, what? Go where? Oh, faith, I love you, faith.
I will tell you a story about a check. So, you know, I went to Washington, you know, many people close to me said, I don't know if that's going to be the best, you know, decision that you've ever made, namely my mother and daughter. They're like, why are you doing that? I said, I'm doing it. It's done. I'm going. And so I got my first check, and silly me, I'm thinking, why am I getting a government check? You know, what is this? And so then I think, like, I open it up, and I say to myself, I said, what is this? And, you know, it was like, I don't know what the number was. I said, is this reimbursement for something? They're like, no, honey, that's your 2 weeks' pay. That's your 2 weeks' pay. So tell me this.
Oh, we all got a check story.
That was my 2 weeks' pay. So I said, oh, okay. So tell me this. How do you decide when an amazing opportunity isn't right for you?
Because your value. You know your value. You know your value, and it, you know, you can, you know, speaking of the check, you can need the check, but are you going to really sell it that short? Are you going to sell the gift that God gave you? Is that all it's worth? You're going to allow them to define that's what your divine gift is worth, especially when you know, let alone the going rate, but you might bring something to the table that hasn't been rated. You know, it's very interesting. And I say that because sometimes, you know, the gift, you're going to create something or define something that hasn't been established. For example, when I pitched for the position of cover director in 1986, there was no such thing as a cover director. Well, what does she do? There's no other magazine that has that on the masthead. Yes, I know, and I don't care, but this is why you need me to do this. Because you need to have a signature look that when you go to the newsstand, that Essence Magazine is recognizable, even if the logo is covered up, as they so often do with all the other publications for general market women on the newsstand. You want a signature look. You want one that affirms that people can point to and say, oh, yes, that's an Essence cover. Yes, that's why you need me. No, there's not another cover director, and you haven't had one since, by the way, but I'm clear about what it is. Yeah, yeah, and this is what it's going to cost. Yes, this is going to cost you. Yeah, this is what it's going to cost you.
That's why she's our hero, and I have one nail that's popped off. I'm still learning from Ms. Nikki Taylor. My lip gloss is slightly crooked. My hat is covering a very interesting hairdo, but this brand is everything, right? And has always been everything to me and every young black woman. And she's such, she walks it. It's so beautiful outside, but inside, and the strength and how much of evidence that you serve to us women is epic. And I just want to make sure I tell you that. Because every time I sit beside her, I'm like, so much more work to do. But not getting off topic, because of course Washington, D.C. wants to like yell at me, keep it short. No. But you know, the interesting thing is that, and now I lost my train of thought talking about Miss Nikki Taylor. But no, what were we talking about before?
Amazing opportunity.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, great, thanks. So the interesting thing is that it's not easy, is what I wanted to say, you know, because especially in Hollywood and especially in what I do, you know, I was on a super successful reality show, Puff Daddy staring me in my face on national television, you know, created an opportunity in the moment while the cameras were rolling to very basically destroy and try to destroy my character and say on national television, you know, I made you, and I don't even know where I found it. I said, you made me, you didn't make me, God made me, you know. And, you know, walked out on a major network and not a phone call the next day, you know. People would call me and say, you can't go up against this guy. What are you talking about? He insulted me. My father never spoke to me like that, and nor should he. I didn't understand that. I was a little girl. I remember this big knot welling up in my throat. And I remember I would not become what you want me to become in order to stand in this room. I loved my purity. I loved the fact that I felt unsafe because I'm a girl. I didn't need to sleep with you. I don't need to be your girl. I don't need to do any of these things for a job. That's not what I do, right? So trying to break that thing internally, right? As I'm learning about my brand, as I'm learning about my purpose. And the only thing I could do was hang on to God. Mm-hmm. Hang on to what the Holy Spirit would tell me only in that moment, because he wouldn't tell me anymore. Mm-hmm. He would just say this. And I would go, okay, you know? Mm-hmm. So, after, go back. We want to give you this money. We want to give you this money. But under these circumstances, no. No, thank you. Was it hard? Yes. It was the hardest thing, the loneliest thing. I don't know anybody that tells you when you walk away that it's easy. No, you'll be at home crumbled up. Like, what did I do? Oh, my God. I can't get a job. Everyone's turning against me because I went up against Puff Daddy. Hence, I'll have you know I'm designing the new Bad Boy Reunion World Tour. I just finished designing the set. So, of course, years later, he saw evidence of the God that I serve and has maintained. And now is in position to give me what I need for my purpose. So Yeah, it's hard to walk away. It's not easy. Mm-hmm. But what is on the other side is way better than anything that the world promotes or markets or brands for you to believe and drink in. The power of your gift, the power of who God is in your life will define and defy and eliminate and just dominate.
Right.
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 Dominate the world. Dominate the industry. You don't have to do nothing but stay in him and trust that, because I feel like, oh, when you come out of the church, you don't know who you really are, and you go into the world and you have an appetite for this thing. Yeah. Why? Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, I just got back from Africa with Nicki Minaj and I love her and everything's great, but it's like, oh dear God, please surround us with your love and your mercy and your grace, because this thing is crazy.
Right.
And then you go and you bring some church folks with you and you want them to help you. And what are they doing? Drinking the Kool-Aid and want to take a picture. Listen. So it really is delusional and an illusion. Mm-hmm. And there is one truth that remains. And it is the only truth. And it's through Jesus Christ that you can find true meaning of life and life more abundantly, and that we will truly understand who and what we are and walk in the life that God wants for all of us. And all I'm saying is I am evidence of this industry, of this Hollywood movement, of this delusional world to distract us from the very purpose and power of who we are. And the presence of God in your life, point blank, period. You can't define it with a brand, a label, a book, or whatever. Walk in it. Understand who you are. And if it is for you to walk away, walk away.
Right.
So what? And I'm not saying, trust me, belly pain.
Yeah.
Headache.
Yeah.
All of it.
Yeah. Crumbled.
All of it.
Yeah. But sometimes we want to be in places where he doesn't intend for us to be.
Correct.
And we be like, oh, I can make this work.
All the time.
No, I don't want
there's
you to
a lot
make
of,
this work.
A lot of making this work. Yeah. There's a lot of settling.
Yes.
There's a lot of I can do the best I can with what I have.
Right.
It's all history. Because we've had to. And so it is a mind grip that we really have to break and demand what we need. Ask for the check. This
That's
is what I can do.
That's
so one quick thing I want to get in here before we open it up for questions. And part of my life's work is to talk about how we support Black business. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so much of my life, our lives, is spent not necessarily supporting Black businesses, but running away from them. There's something better on the other side. Mm-hmm. I've arrived, and so I'm not going to go to the Black dealer to get my car. I'm not going to have a Black insurance company. A Black doctor, is he well trained? Is she well trained? We got to stop this. We've got to stop this, okay? Because from these Black businesses comes wealth, comes reinvestment in us.
That's right.
Scholarships, education.
That's right.
You know, we want buildings named after us.
That's right.
Not a little one either.
Right.
A big
That's
one.
That's exactly right. And we have to remember that opportunity favors the prepared mind. Okay?
Absolutely
so with
right.
our own businesses, in the way we support one another, we have to see the opportunity. The other thing is we have to change our language from limitation to affirmation. You know, we just want a little bit. If I could just get this, no, it's not about this. It's like, yes, if he says that he's able to bless us exceeding and abundantly above all that we could think or ask, that's a template for dreaming big. And you're going to dream big, and I'm going to link arms and aims with you and help you dream big, and we're going to create wealth together, not only in dollars and cents and coinage, but we're going to create wealth in our relationships.
Right.
That's the other place we have to build wealth. We are in poverty when it comes to our relationships.
Exactly right. Do you hear what we're saying? Do you believe what we're saying? Are you going to follow up on what we're saying? Because this is a large group. You can change this. Don't let that history get you. Yes. Remember, that girl talked about, don't let it get you.
Right.
You know, we have to support one another. We have so much power that we're wasting. And we got a lot of issues. There's no question about it. But everyone has a lot of issues. And so let's hold hands and get this done. I have a quick thing I want to ask, real quick. Samsung or Apple? That's not hard. This is supposed to be quick. Don't think. What do you have, Samsung or Apple?
Well, I have Apple.
Okay.
But I will tell you, I wish that Apple still can't touch. I'm a visual person. And that Samsung, that Droid technology and those photographs, I'm sorry, Samsung still got it.
Samsung or Apple?
I have an Apple, but not because I really decide. I mean, I'm creative. I'm a visionary.
You guys are so funny. Stand by what you have. They both have apples. I'm moving on.
I can't commit to it.
Cookie or Boo Boo Kitty?
Neither, and I wish both would eliminate themselves from the I can't do Cookie and I can't do Boo Boo Kitty. I'm sorry. Neither one.
I've never had people refuse to answer my lightning round. This is my lightning round, okay?
Okay.
Drake or Lamar?
Oh, that's hard.
I know.
Oh.
No, it's not. I know both of them, and I'd probably say Nas.
I love it. All right now. I love it. All right.
They have much work to do.
Okay. I give up. Okay, Bernie or Hillary?
I'm going to have to refer to the leader of the house because I already know God is up to something. I'm like, I don't know. I'm just going to hang on to him.
Look,
and I just want to thank you for me tuning in to watching you.
No,
here's
what I will say. We, without
Tell
question,
me what to say.
We are at a Red Sea moment, and I'm waiting for God to show up and show out. Okay? Yes.
Okay. Yes. All right. We're going to open it up for questions.
Hillary or Bernie, come on, Washington. You should let us know. Who would you
I'm
vote
not
for?
From Washington. I just did a stint there. I'm a Louisiana girl.
Hillary or who would?
We're going to open it up for questions.
Questions, so please come up to the stand and we will have your question.
That was good.
That was we have a mic stand over there on that side as well.
Hi, my question is, our pastor talks about climbing your mountain without compromising. Can you give us an example of when you had an opportunity and it required compromise and you therefore had to turn it down, and talk about how your faith helped you overcome any feelings that you had about that?
Very quickly, I built a number one brand, Lady Gaga, from complete obscurity to 45 million albums sold. My gift definitely defined the very success of that brand. I was then faced with being at the height of the industry and being surrounded by the greed, the leeches, and actual demonic strongholds. So in a moment where, you know, there was a conversation and a defining moment where everybody around Gaga had now become affected by this demonic stronghold because her place of influence was so massive. And I remember telling her, we're going to pick the band. And when you pick the band, I want you to close your eyes because the gift should speak to you, not who they are. She closed her eyes and she picked the band. And then we found out that everybody in the band was saved. Then, one night, she nicknamed the guitarist Jesus. And I'm like, oh, dear Lord. So every night she'd be like, Jesus! What's happening? This thing. Every time we take a step forward, that enemy would just be in warfare with this artist, warfare with me, warfare, trying to make a mockery out of my belief, out of what God was doing in my life. Total battle, right? Real warfare over the influence that she had over the kids. So when this one moment came, everybody was already now under the influence, and she asked me one thing that would basically define who I served. And I walked away. I left a number one artist at 45 million albums sold. They dropped a press release that they fired me. So when I tell you I've walked away from what the world thinks is power and good and success, I did it. And God is so good and so real and so honorable that when you see where he finally places me, you'll understand what I'm saying, that it was, how dare I say it was worth it? Of course it was worth it. Do you know what I mean? But I did it. I did it, Pastor. Do you know what I mean? I did it. Okay. I don't know nothing else, but I know you know, people don't say you walk away from a number one selling artist at 55 million, a white girl. Because the white card is different than the black girl card, which we're changing. But yeah, glory to God.
Hi there, my name is Rashada Dewan. I'm a singer, actor, dancer, and I'm gonna see y'all again real soon. But I do have a question. How do you know when it's time for your brand to change? And I ask that because Johnson Publishing Company is going through a shift right now as well. And many of us, we work really hard to get that brand to stick and you get some success. But then times change and you have ebb and flows of life. And how do you know when it's time to just make a shift?
A couple of things. I mean, magazine is different from a person, for certain. One of the fundamentals I think about when I think about a personal brand is you have to keep going back to that authentic base. You can't lose that. It could be dressed a different way, colored a different way. Maybe your interests are, you know, more focused on one thing at one period of time. But you really, your brand needs to be your core. It's evolving and it's changing as you're growing and experiencing. And all of us, all of our interests shift over time. Your experiences impact you. Wisdom is always coming your way, whether it's through faith or anything else. And so you don't want to lose that. But if it starts to feel like this isn't the real you, that's when you got to make a change. And so I'll shift over to Ebony and the reestablishment of the crown on Ebony's head again under the leadership of our new editor, Kierna Mayo. And we looked at it and I said, guys, you're following. Stop following that other magazine.
Right.
Stop. We are not purely a magazine for women. We have 40% males that read our magazine. Go in the archives, take a look at the chances the editors and the curators before you took. And take some chances. You guys are disappointing me.
Yeah.
You can do better.
Right.
I know it's in you. I know you can do this. And so what comes out of that? What comes out of that is the Cosby cover with the crumpled, you know, family on that cover. That is our family issue. We're not here to judge Mr. Cosby on what he did or didn't do. But we are here as Ebony to talk about what impact this situation has had on families, black families across America.
Yeah.
That's reestablishing the voice of Ebony and creating an environment to have a dialogue about something that's truly hurting us.
Yeah.
It hurts to have to watch this. And so we need to establish a safe environment for people to have this conversation with their own, with their kids, with their mothers and fathers, because we know that is what Ebony was meant to be and do.
Yeah. You know, what I will say, too, for your personal brand, what you have to realize is that your Creator doesn't want you to stay the same. The Word says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you are called and equipped to transform. So if you don't stir up the gift that's in you, that means keep polishing it, taking it to the next level, illuminate it. You are going to stay the same. You're going to reach stagnation. And what happens in business is that you either evolve or you evaporate. Yeah. So you want to keep stirring up the gift that's in you. You want to keep understanding that you were called to transform. You weren't called to fit in or stay the same or fall into stagnation or, you know, this is good, business as usual. That could never be your mantra. I have an old proverb that I live by too, and it says, if the best is possible, then good is not enough. Yeah. So you have to keep moving up. Up. Yeah.
Thank you.
Hello. I'm a blockbuster movie writer. You haven't heard of me yet. I'm Lynn Goldsmith. I write movies that are kind and caring and interesting, and they don't attack your senses, any godly senses that you have. And I want to know when the time will be right to introduce my films in the industry.
When the time is right? The time is always right. Where are you going? Why are you walking away? That's the problem right there.
Okay, sorry. I'm listening.
What were you doing walking away? I'm trying to figure that out.
Trying to expedite the
what?
Of the line.
See, because the same way you're delivering that is the same way you'll have to walk into a room and pitch your idea.
Yeah.
And tell those executives. So listen, there's three little dogs and they're over here, and yeah, you have to be confident.
Yes.
The time is right when you're confident. And there's no place where you get to where you're like, this is it, I'm gonna stop, like she's saying. Glory upon glory, precept upon precept. It is in your destiny and your purpose. It's not over till we go. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So this idea that you get to a place and now you've made it, or you get to a place and you are allowed to act a certain way, all that's insecurity. You get a label and now you're able to judge and deny. Okay, you deal with that, right? So you have to be confident. That's the first thing. Confident in your gift to write scripts, confident in that story that you want to reach the world with, right? Movie making is another influence.
Right.
Be clear about the story you want to tell, right?
Right.
Because that's what will influence and plant the seeds and have the next generation grab a hold,
right.
You know? So I think that you'll know when you know. And for me, you need to be confident in it.
Thank you.
Okay.
And don't audition it when you get there. That's another thing. We need to stop auditioning our gifts for other people's approval. You need to visualize that thing before you show up. You need to already know who it's going to serve, why they're dying to have it, so that when you walk in to sell it, you're very clear. And if they don't get it, they weren't the ones it was intended for. You got to be clear about that thing. Yes.
Thank you. My name is Courtney Jackson, and I'm a producer, and thank you all so much for sharing so much powerful wisdom this morning. I just had a follow-up question for Mickey Taylor. If you could kind of share with us your process of transitioning from Essence to now your own company, and how you make that transition when you've had a career that has been so defining, and that's what people know you as, and when you're going into something else, how you worked with your Creator and helping to evolve your brand and new, you know, revelations for what He's wanting to do with you moving forward.
You know what? I realized a long time ago that I was a brand within a brand. And that's what we all, those of us who work for someone else, you have to realize that you are a brand within a brand. And it's not just about contributing to their brand. It is about using your gift to contribute to yours as well. And so every day of my life, I get up, I go to work on behalf of black women. It's not my business card. It's what I do. It's what I was called to do. So you have to realize that your gift goes with you wherever you go, and you want the biggest platform for it because you serve a big God. And that's the way I see it. So, yeah, so today it's 5 million, next year it's 10 million. Well, what is the platform that I can go where I can serve them globally? Yeah, and so that compelled me to start my own business. It was time. It was time to start my own business. Didn't mean that I couldn't serve Essence Readers, but it meant that there was more to my gift and that I wasn't going to deny the Creator who gave it to me. Yeah. So again, it's about answering the requirement, the calling that's on your life, that you are multidimensional. You serve a multidimensional God. You serve an omnipresent God. I mean, again, faith is nothing if it's not defining your life. And because of faith, and again, like I say, faith holds me accountable. I refuse to live in the shadow of who I was meant to be. Life is not a dress rehearsal. I'm not getting to come back and try this again. This, the curtain's up. This is it. This is it. Music's playing. Gotta go.
Thank you so much.
We are running out of time.
Okay.
We have time for one more.
Okay. Two more.
We have time for two more.
So you guys battle it out over there.
Okay. Really quick. I'm Kisha Coleman. My husband and I pastor a church. I also have a business. But this is in relationship to my children. I have a son who's at the Art Institute of Chicago. He's into gaming, and he's getting a lot of interviews. A lot of great things are going on. My daughter, my second child, is a senior about to graduate. She wants to go to a place like maybe Hofstra in New York for journalism. So as I'm sending my children out into the world, I'm a praying mother, but there are questions that I have. For instance, is there such a thing as the Illuminati? And if so, explain.
Is there a question of what? I mean,
guys,
that's a whole other session.
There's a reality. I understand as a praying mother, there's the opposition. There is the evil, there is the weakness, there is the knowledge of the warfare that we're in. And as a praying mother, you understand how to arm your kids with the word of God. You understand how to also release them as God watches over them,
That's right?
In regards to Illuminati secret society, yes, the devil is real and busy and trying to create options.
Right.
He has no power. We have the victory. But if you want to choose the suggestion,
that's right,
then I can't help you. But what I can tell you is that God is real, and
that's right,
the power,
right,
is real and available, and therefore you have nothing to worry about. And for that other girl, what you have to understand, Nikki, you can't say Essence and Lady Gaga and these brands, you can't fear the perception of their bigness when you serve the Alpha and the Omega,
that's
the beginning,
right,
and the end.
That's right.
I don't know what to tell you except rid yourself of this fear and this conversation that you're having.
Right.
There's no
My
right.
God.
I just want understanding.
If I could lay at your feet every Sunday, I would get them. And I do.
Yeah.
But You're in.
Right.
Eat, drink.
Right.
And teach. Fear not.
Yes. Fear not.
Lengthen thy cords. Strengthen thy shoulders.
Can't
use it. The Bible says God has not given us the spirit of fear. That means we can't use it. Okay? And we don't need to manufacture it either. Teach your children that their souls are not for hire nor for sale.
And don't worry about what the title of the whatever it is.
Because again, if God be for you, who can be against you? You want to stay on the winning side. Yeah.
However, there is a door and there is stronghold and there is real warfare.
That's right.
So I understand your question, but don't ask about it like it got any power.
Hi, good morning. My name is Aramide, and you all mentioned something about valuing yourself. So my question is this. I am an analytics consultant. I've done this for 4 years, and I'm also a creative. I design, I write music, I sing, and I want to start exploring ways to take my skills outside of the corporate world and offer it to people as a service and become independent. My question is, when you're starting out and you know you have, you come with skill set, you do add value, but you also have more to learn in what you're trying to do, how do you price yourself? How do you value yourself appropriately?
It's levels to the what you charge.
Yes. Well, I mean, I would think one of the things you need to do is a little bit of research. You know, what are the going rates? You know, and you don't want to price yourself so low that you're not, you're below what you should be. But on the other hand, you don't want to, you know, especially if you're just starting, you may make a decision to price it a little lower and have them don't sign a long contract,
right,
and then say, you know what? You're in, they see what you can do, and you know what? My price is going to go a little bit, you know, higher. So
right.
I think you got to do a little research.
And then price it out. Because, you know, also sometimes even an investor or, you know, wherever you're going to start with salary, you could say, oh, well, this six-figure number sounds great. But then you look at what you're putting into it, and by the end of the day, you might be just making $10 an hour. Yeah. So you got to price it out, too. You got to pragmatically define it.
Okay.
Think it's supposed to be over.
All right, we're going to take one last question very quickly. And we have a raffle also.
What?
Okay. So can you make this question quick?
Yes, wait. I can.
All right.
Hi, my name is Rochelle. I am an actor, dancer, performer, and I'm also a writer and creator. And the Lord is truly doing something new in my life, so I know that I'm here for a reason. And my question is about your experiences with being obedient. When you hear the voice telling you to witness to somebody or to speak to someone, especially a person in a position of power or influence who can affect your career in a positive or negative way, have you ever not been obedient and not said something, not done what the Spirit has told you to do? And when have you been obedient, and how has that
I mean,
out?
For me, I can only speak about my experience, but again, when I say, you know, I didn't grow up in the church, and when God saved me, it was at a specific time, because I want to tell you this. When you're covered, it is one thing. When you're not covered, is a very real thing. It's very cold and it's very real. And you have to understand that the obedience is better than anything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? It is all about Him. There's no way around it. That's what we're here. Right?
Yeah.
So, you will have times maybe where you're learning to hear clearly or be more confident in your position in a place. So there might be times where you go, I'm not going to do that, right? But then you get convicted, and that conviction is real. So allow it to convict you. Allow it to re-strategize you, burn up the doubt even more, so that you can come out as iron. And then the next time you hear from the Holy Spirit, you just be like, let me tell you something. You know what I mean? So it's okay. Don't beat yourself up. It's always a process, you know?
I think also you have to establish your position. If you understand that you are servant leader, and that those two terms are inextricably bound, servant leader. Mm. So what does a servant do? She helps others. Mm-hmm. Leader, what does a leader do? Directs, points the way.
Right.
So you have to look at it this way. You know something about Him that will help someone else. The word says that you are called to do what? Glorify Him. Move yourself out of the way.
Yes.
Servant leader, move yourself out of the way. You know something that helps somebody. If you saw me about to fall off this stage, would you not tell me? Because you're afraid, oh, that's Mickey Taylor, I can't tell her. Meanwhile, she's gonna break her neck.
All right.
Good question.
We're wrapping
good
up.
Question.
Thank you so much. You guys have been fabulous.
And so has Miss Desiree Rogers.
Thank you so much. Desiree, thank you. Thank you for everyone. I mean, that is what we call straight talk. Yeah. All right, just shake it off for just a minute and then sit it back down. Amen. Just had a dear friend of mine come in. He was going to surprise me today. Derek Luke, I know you probably know him from Sparkle and all these other stuff. Now, this is...